Honestly, was worried about that. I really was. But I think our team really handled it. Maybe we've been here a while. You know, obviously, we've been through things in the past, things that happened, distractions. And I think our core of this team knew what this was about and that everyone was level-headed. And yes, James was not on the practice field, but he was at walkthroughs. He was in meetings. And he wasn't just there physically. Like, he was engaged in those things and engaged with his teammates.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean yesterday talking about the James Cook extension. The Bills head off to Chicago today for a practice tomorrow and then preseason game number 2 against the Chicago Bears. But Cook gets his deal. I want to read you a little bit here from Bill Barnwell on this contract. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Thursday. We opened the show talking about how silly I did about how when we talk contracts, I just think we're always somewhat in the dark and the whole process is kind of silly and stupid. Mm-hmm. So Barnwell pointed out that the real money on James Cook comes in at about 11.5 per year, and that, finger quotes, $30 million guaranteed was a severe case of agent inflation, because there's $15 million guaranteed at signing, 5.3 of which he was already getting for this year. Mm-hmm. We get agent inflation. I think we also get team inflation the other way. We get everybody picking apart a deal the way that they want. But Barnwell had something else on Kyren Williams here that, Joe, I'm going to give you some blast from the past names that you're, I think, really going to appreciate.
Okay.
So he points out Kyren Williams is a piece of evidence that the running back market has not been propelled forward. So there's this big conversation about how running backs are back. Barkley, Henry, James Cook said he wants 15. And he pointed out on Kyren Williams, while the deal is reported $11 million, on percentage of the cap, that is just above Nyheim Hines, Gio Bernard, and pre-breakout Austin Eckler a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
So he goes on to point out that in 2017, Devonta Freeman signed for almost 5% of the cap.
Okay.
Which in today's money is $14 million per season.
Yeah.
So in 2017, a Devonta Freeman was a $14 million running back in today's money.
Yeah.
And where are running backs? They're all coming in under that. Yeah. So while salaries are going up and Cook's got, whether you want to call it a $12 million AAV or 11.5, or really it's kind of 10, whatever it is, it's important to remember that these deals, while they look bigger and bigger, especially at this position, this is where I landed the whole time about why it's okay to sign him, because we get sticker shock on the idea of 11 or 12 or 15, but at the top of the position, getting that little money, by comparison to what it got 7 years ago, it's still low. Running backs are still coming in at reasonable value on the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that context was great from Barnwell. Like, Gio Bernard and Nyheim Hines got 3.4% of the cap couple of years ago, and here's James Cook getting like 4% of the cap.
But again, like, why are they getting that low of a percentage of the cap?
Because
everyone believes you can reasonably replace them with a guy who's making $900,000.
That's right. Reasonably replace them. So reasonably replace them means that the guys that make a big difference, GMs are going to say, I think he makes enough of a difference
to pay him 10 times what the rookie's going to make.
Yes, because the rookie, maybe I can't count on the rookie to stay healthy or have fumbling problems or be a big-time difference maker. And the other thing about this, Joe, you know, rookies making $900,000, some rookies make that. You had the numbers yesterday about what's Ashton Jeanty going to make?
He's $35 million is guaranteed.
Right.
I don't know what the per year is, but $35 million guaranteed is already second in the league at the position.
Right. So running backs are in this spot where you want a second contract, and unless you're a GM that's willing to pay, I don't know, about the same to guarantee yourself a blue chip running back, now mm-hmm. you're taking guys in like the second, third, and fourth round and hoping one of them hits. And the Bills have done this with, of course, Singletary, Moss, and Cook. Mm-hmm. And Ray Davis, and they've identified one guy of that group as, yeah, this guy should be re-signed. We should pay to keep this and put a stop to, I want to say they're going to put a stop to trying to find running backs in the draft, right?
I was going to say, because they're here. Like, there's no diamond in the rough coming unless Ray Davis takes some massive step forward. Like, he's here for his rookie contract, and Ty Johnson signed a multi-year deal, and James Cook is here. So, like, the idea that they would draft a guy in the fourth round, and then, oh, look, he's Bucky Irving. And guess what? Oh, he's the starter now because he's amazing, or he's on par with James Cook at least, because that's how good he is. Like, you are not having that happen in the next 3 years. Is three too many? I mean, Ty Johnson's only signed for two, so maybe in that third year, that's when you'll start looking for somebody else. But that's a little bit, I guess, of the disappointment of the signing, is that they're not going to be taking shots at the position like that, where every year there's a guy in the mid rounds who ends up being awesome.
I don't want that shot. Is it wrong? Is it twisted that maybe the best part about this for me is that they won't do that?
I want them to keep taking shots on the cheap running backs. And by doing this, they will no longer be taking those shots.
But it's where you save, even if we're going to go for a flyer, and maybe you want to say that a fourth-round running back is much more likely to make a big difference and be one of the best in the NFL than a fourth-round defensive tackle, right? And I might even get you that. I might even give you that.
Yeah, yeah.
But put it this way. If I'm using, for the rest of the time, you want to make it a third, you want to make it a fourth, you want to make it a second because that's what Cook is?
Split the difference.
If for the rest of my franchise's history, I spend third-round picks on running backs, I get the least actual return because the top of the market is 20 and the second tier of the market is 11, like Cook. If I spend those picks on, I don't want to say quarterbacks because quarterbacks never make it to the third that are good. It just almost never happens. I want to spend those thirds on receivers, defensive ends, defensive tackles, corners. If that guy hits, I'm saving way more. I'm getting actually much more value on, if you gave me the seventh best defensive tackle in the league in the third round versus the seventh best running back in the league in the third round, the defensive tackle is a much bigger value. And B, when I'm re-signing that guy, like, those guys are harder to find. I think the replaceability of the running back position is kind of, I don't know, it's a double-edged sword. Like, I get it. I don't disagree. You can find them. But when you keep doing it, I don't know, would the Bills be a better team if they had not spent four picks or three picks on running backs? I feel like they could have had other players that would have been better ideas. And here they are. They end up with Cook. Now they're going to stop the running back parade, which we've seen. You know, four picks, if I'm including Nyheim Hines, four picks spent on chasing a pass-catching running back.
The difference, though, I would say with all of those positions, I think that's a good point. Like, in terms of the money, it is more worth to draft those players. The difference is, though, running back is the one position where the guy almost always plays right away. Like, there's no development. The guys enter the league in their primes. You're going to see them. You're going to get a look at them.
Cook didn't. Right,
Well, he did to some degree. I mean, by the second half of that first year. And that was, and what was that as a story? It was late second round pick. Why on earth is he not on the field? That's not the same when it's a Dwayne Carter or when it's a Dorian Williams or when the first year it's Terrell Bernard or, just go down the list. These two are running backs. Harrison Phillips. Like, a lot of these players don't play right away. So. And part of that is, I think a lot of those other positions need more development. Running back is a rotational position where guys are trusted usually right into the league. And I get a better idea of whether they're productive or not immediately. And I can use those guys immediately. I don't know if Landon Jackson's really going to play much this year. Dwayne Carter didn't play much last year. Like, running backs in that round, they will play that much that year. Ray Davis last year, it's 100 carries, right?
To this point then, like, if you think they're so replaceable, which... Again, I think there's a fair point here. Would you be good with Ty Johnson being your backup? Or sorry, being your starter? Like, Ty Johnson's your starter, $2.5 million per year. Could you get away with it?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, then why spend a third-round pick? Like, to me, draft capital is it. If you think it's super replaceable, don't draft it. Sign it in free agency. Go get your Ty Johnson. Go get your who else signed this year in free agency? I don't know, Javonta Williams. I don't know who you want.
Yeah, right. The bargain bin $1-3 million guys. Yeah.
Right, where the Bills have hunted plenty of bargain bin running backs over the years. Again, it's still, that's one of the biggest reasons I like this. I am taken running back off the board. By the way, we have a bet on the bet board. What are they more likely to draft first, linebacker or running back? They didn't go with either this year, and now for next year, I feel great.
Although you shouldn't feel great about linebacker, though.
I mean, they're not going to draft a running back.
No, but they're not going to draft a linebacker.
I mean, Matt Milano's kind of old. You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
803-05.
No, you're right. If they hadn't restructured Milano's deal, I would feel better about it, but they did.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. If you want to give us a call, your thoughts on Cook, we'd love to have him join us. It was about 24 hours ago, almost, about 7:30 yesterday, the news broke. James Cook signed his contract extension. So if you've not had a chance to get in yet, you can give us a ring. Meanwhile, I have a game to play.
A James Cook game.
Yes.
Excited. All right.
Are you ready for it?
Yes, I am. Let's go.
Right. Here's the game. I could have made this instant trivia, but decided that this would be a better way to do it. And that is James Cook, now that he has his extension, where will he end up in Bills history for all-time rushing yards? That's right.
Okay.
We're going to play Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, yes. The return of Cliffhanger.
The return of Cliffhanger.
Love it.
So James Cook is currently 16th in Bills history in rushing yards.
Okay.
Just ahead of Kenneth Davis.
Okay.
James Cook, 16th. Joe, I'm going to give you numbers. You tell me if he will get that number before he is done playing for the Bills. It doesn't have to be on this contract extension. Just where will James Cook end all-time rushing yards for the Bills? Will he get 100 more yards?
Yes, he will.
He will pass Marshawn Lynch by doing that.
Wow.
Will he get 300 more yards?
Yes.
Jim Braxton and Antoine Smith.
Okay.
He will pass in Bills history for rushing yards. Will James Cook get 600 more career rushing yards with the Buffalo Bills?
Yes, he will.
He will pass Devin Singletary and Cookie Gilchrist.
Okay. Cookie Gilchrist really didn't play here that long, I guess.
Will he get 1,000 more rushing yards in his career?
Yes, he will.
He will pass C.J. Spiller, Willis McGahee, and Ray Carlton.
Okay.
We're moving up here. Will James Cook, maybe I should really start to pick this apart a little more. Let me do the math. Will James Cook, who has 2,638 career rushing yards, will he get 1,400 more yards?
Yes, he'll get 1,400 more.
He'll pass LeSean McCoy.
Don't think he'll do that this year, though.
1,500.
Yes.
He'll pass Travis Henry. Will he get 1,600?
Yes.
In his Bills career. Okay, this is a fun one. He'll pass Josh Allen.
What's Josh's number?
4,142.
So he's 1,500 behind?
Behind Josh, yeah. Which is kind of nuts, right? Now, Josh's number will continue to move as well.
I know. So...
Which, by the way, after this, if you want to, we'll play Josh Allen cliffhanger where he ends up in all-time rushing
yards. I almost project that Cook will pass Allen and then Allen will pass him back later?
And then you could. Depends,
you know what
how
I mean?
Far you want to.
I think this is what I would say. Cook will at some point be above Allen on the all-time rushing list, but by the end of their careers, Allen will be higher.
All right. Well, we'll do Allen cliffhanger.
But Allen's higher. So we'll just keep Allen. Allen will stay higher.
Okay. So 1,500 yards he passes where Josh Allen is right now.
Yeah.
Will he get 2,000 more rushing yards in his career?
Yes.
He'll pass Joe Cribbs.
Are we in the top five already?
After passing Cribbs, he is fourth.
Okay.
Fourth all time in rushing yards. Will James Cook get 3,009 rushing yards in his Bills career from this moment? 3,009.
Yes, he will.
He will pass Fred Jackson, all-time rushing yards for the Bills.
Okay. Fred's now fourth.
Fred's third.
Third.
Yeah, now Cook is third all-time.
I feel like this is where we're going to stop.
You know, you might have a bit of a gap here.
It's a guess. I don't know what the gap is. I can just imagine, though, that the gap is large.
Yeah. Will James Cook get 7,500 more rushing yards in his career?
No, he will not.
No,
he
will not.
As you were starting, I'm like, what's the number I want? I'm like, I think he's going to get, like, set the line to, like, 3,500 more yards for the Bills.
Yeah.
7,000.
7,500 more rushing yards.
No, he will not do that.
He will not do that.
What would he have to do? He'd have to play the entirety of this contract.
And get like 1,300 a year. And then have another contract.
And I don't think, like, If he averaged 1,000 per year, he'd have to play for the Bills until he's like 35 years old, right? To have a shot. Any shot. No, I don't believe he will get that far. And I'd be floored if he came close.
All right. So you predict through the cliffhanger game. I mean, there's a pretty big gap. It's, 4,500 yards between Fred and OJ. So
yeah.
When Cook moves into third all time, he's got a lot of time to be there.
I do think, though, as I said, I think when it's all set and done, he's going to be fourth. I think Josh is going to be third.
So that means you think Josh Allen will pass Fred Jackson in all-time rushing yards with the Bills?
Yes.
He needs 1,500 yards roughly to do it. 1,505.
Yes. Yeah, he'll do that. I mean, I know the running eventually is going to cool off a little bit, but we talked about yesterday Steve Young, because Allen said in that Bussin' with the Boys podcast, he's on a Steve Young kick right now. Like, he's watching Steve Young highlights. And didn't you tell me, I don't have the stats in front of me, Steve Young ran for like a crazy amount of yards, like a 38?
Like, Steve Young is, let's play the grandpa tells you about a player, because you didn't really see Steve Young, did you?
No, 99 he's done, man. So I don't remember.
I used to kind of regularly say that I think Steve Young's the best quarterback I ever watched. I feel like I used to say he's the all-time leader in passer rating.
But you don't say that anymore?
I don't know. Like, he doesn't come up as much. He's not in GOAT conversations because he didn't win a million Super Bowls like, Brady or Manning or Mahomes. Uh-huh. But Steve Young, not only was Steve Young an athletic quarterback, Joe, if you want to make a comparison or you want to see a career arc that you want to mimic if you're Allen, he's had a ton more success than Steve Young had. By the time Steve Young is 30, he's only played like 10 games in a year, and he went 5-5.
Right. He started 1 year in Tampa.
But he went
2-12.
Yeah, 2 years in Tampa, wasn't very good.
Right.
Spot duty for the Niners. His first year as a full-time starter for the Niners, he went 14-2.
Yeah.
And then 10-6, 13-3, 8-3, 9-3, 12-3, 11-4. He won a million games with the Niners.
And he won MVP the first year he was a full-time starter for the
Niners.
He's a
three-time first-team All-Pro. He won the MVP twice.
Yep.
He finished second once. Like, Steve Young was an unbelievable quarterback. But the best part about looking at his career arc, if you are a Allen fan that wonders, when will his physical peak be, when will be on the other side of that? Steve Young started being amazing at 31. 31.
Mm-hmm.
If Allen had the years that Steve Young had from 31 to 37, he's like one of the five best quarterbacks to ever play. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get to the seven Super Bowls like Brady, but Allen's already one of the best to ever play the position. I think we could put him on a top 20 list.
Yes.
And if he has this 7 year 30s, I mean, good night. Steve Young was amazing.
Yeah. Pair that with like one or two Super Bowls and he could be top five, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Top five for that? I mean, like in the Peyton Manning territory? If it'll get divulged into rings culture, which will be Mahomes and Brady. But after that, what about after that?
Well,
could he be third?
Every once in a while, I like to say there is a scenario where Allen could pass Mahomes on rings. I'm just saying it's possible.
I mean, of course there's a scenario.
Is it unlikely?
A scenario where the Sabres win the Cup this year, too.
You're saying he can't get four?
What's more likely, the Sabres winning the Stanley Cup this year or Allen getting to four? Probably Allen getting to four, right? Probably. I don't know if the odds would say that, but it feels like the Allen one might be more likely.
I mean, if you put that in a Twitter poll, I think it is 90-10.
In favor of Allen getting to four?
Yes. I think that's 90-10. Is that wrong?
It might be. It's not wrong. It might be wrong to say that, but nobody's going to think that way, if that makes sense. Like, if some scientist was going to calculate the odds on those two outcomes, I wonder if the Sabres winning the Cup this year would be higher, but I can't. I bet you, I don't even know if it's 10. It might be like 2% would say the Sabres winning the Cup's more likely.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, that could happen. But what has to happen for that to happen? You need to start beating the Chiefs, and you need Andy Reid to retire, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We joked the other day about Andy Reid answering questions about the Chiefs' window closing, which I've not seen anybody that I would respect saying the Chiefs' window is closing. However,
no,
I have seen plenty of, they're not some unbeatable juggernaut, and I told you this offseason, I predict that the Allen is better than Mahomes conversation in terms of who's the best quarterback right now. That starts to become a real honest thing where people are not uncomfortable to say Allen. I mean,
yeah, it's
just because
a lot.
Right, the latest is Bill Simmons of the Ringer, like his tiers, like Allen's number one. And again, you don't have to trust him, or you could pick anybody you want. It seems like there's at least a weakening of the shield that Mahomes has for making and winning the Super Bowl all the time, because the last couple seasons he's not been great. I have a stat of the day basically on that as well. Scott Barrett on this fantasy football writer, who had something about the Chiefs passing game the last three seasons. And, you know, we've watched the Chiefs beat the Bills and have the answers against the Bills. Meanwhile, in the regular season, how does it go every year, Joe? We watch them and we say, they don't look that good. They look like they're beatable. Somebody can get them. Scott Barrett had this stat. It's about deep passing touchdowns, not just, you know, overall offense, but deep passing game. Mm-hmm. In the last three seasons, the Chiefs have seven deep passing touchdowns, which is last in the league.
Wow.
And not only is that last in the league, they have 20 fewer than Derek Carr over that same span. Just to give you an idea of the
Chiefs.
Well,
he did play last year, but he's Derek Carr.
Right, but the point is, like, we've watched the Chiefs turn from this, oh my God, they can throw it everywhere with Tyreek Hill, to they don't ever hit deep anymore, ever. They drafted Worthy to try to do that, and they were not able to hit it.
Right.
But you might say, like, oh, what's the reason behind this? Scott Barrett had more numbers on this. On the Chiefs' deep passing game, which is one of the things they're talking about trying to get back, Barrett had this. In yards, again, last three seasons, deep passing yards, the Chiefs are 28th.
Yeah.
They're 32nd in touchdowns. They are 27th in catchable throw rate on deep passes. And 28th in turnover-worthy throw rate on deep passes.
He's kind of having the inverse of Brady's career, right? Brady in 2007, you know, and then beyond, is like throwing for a billion yards and
a billion
touchdowns. He's a bomber. Randy Moss down the field, Gronk up the seam, like just chucking the ball all over the place. At the beginning for Brady, it was all of this, wasn't it? Like, the numbers weren't as crazy, at least.
Yeah.
More credit being given to the defense and to the surrounding cast, but not getting the gaudy numbers, not setting the world on fire offensively. That's literally Mahomes, but it's flipped, isn't it? He comes in throwing 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, and then 5 years later, he's winning, but he's like all of this. What do you mean he's bottom five in all of these passing statistics, and yet they've gone to the Super Bowl twice or 3 years in a row? How is that possible?
They built the defense perfectly right at the time when their offense dropped off.
That really is it, right? Like, if their defense hadn't become stellar in the last couple of years,
they would have just
the
drifted.
Shine would be off. What would they be right now? What would they be thought of right now? They'd be respected. They would be a team that won, you know, two Super Bowls. But it would be 4 or 5 years without that defense since they had made it. They wouldn't be anywhere dynasty. They wouldn't be on ESPN tonight with their own show. I don't think.
The Kingdom. You can watch it tonight if you just need to get more Chiefs in your life. Great. That's on tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. It's on ESPN, I guess.
I'm going to unplug all my televisions in my house tonight. Accidentally puts it on.
They're the world's team, and we are part of the world. Team. So I think we have to watch.
Yeah, the world's team. Jeremy and Joe, Sal coming up at 8 o'clock.
Sorry, one last thing on that. I just want to make this declaration right now. The owner saying that they're the world's team, they are forbidden forever to wear us against the world shirts. Okay,
that's fair for the rest of time.
I never want to see them do it because I'm going to remember that they call themselves the world's team.
That's funny. That's a good point. Sal at 8 to give us the breakdown of yesterday's practice, and James Cook signing his extension. You can jump on as well. We have wide open phones. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Thanks for playing along the home version of the cliffhanger game. James Cook, according to Joe, will be the third all-time rusher and then be passed by Josh Allen, who will be third all-time in rushing yards for the Bills in the history, which could happen. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
The one thing the Buffalo Bills do not want to look at is they don't want to look out on the field in late January when you know as well as I do they're going to be in Arrowhead. It's going to be in the fourth quarter. It's going to be 23-19 Kansas City, and the Bills are struggling to run the ball, and they can't do it, and the Chiefs' defense is swarming Allen, and they're passing all over the place, and Allen is trying to do Allen ball, and it's just not working, and they don't have James Cook out there. You need that guy when you go to Arrowhead. And I'm not talking about in the regular season game against the Chiefs. I'm talking about in the playoff game. The Bills are a one-game team. They have to win one game this year that they can seem to never win. And to go into that, don't tell me about how much percentage of time he's on the field. Tell me about the percentage of the time that James Cook is in the end zone. This is a huge season for the Bills. They have to have that guy.
Kyle Brandt, his take on the James Cook signing.
They will not be playing that game in Arrowhead this year.
Well,
that's my prediction.
Listen, it's August 14th. We're waiting for preseason games to get to a regular season where they are indeed, like Kyle says, like a one-game team where what happens in the one game this year? Do they get to the next game?
Yep.
You keyed in on they won't be in Arrowhead. I keyed in on it's 23-19 in the fourth quarter. What's wrong with the offense? 19 points in the fourth?
Maybe it's really cold. Wait, we can't say that because they scored 47 in the cold ones.
Would you take down 23? It's 23-19 in the fourth, and they can't run the ball? Why are they running the ball if they're down 4 points in the fourth quarter? Yeah. I don't need them to run the ball. Why are they down? Why do they only have 19?
Maybe there's a snowstorm. Would you take that?
Would I take what, a snowstorm in Kansas City?
No, the game's in Buffalo, but it's a snowstorm.
Oh, man. No.
You don't want
it? No. I don't want the takes. Well, I don't want the takes about how the – because if they lose, then people would say the new stadium is a disaster because the snow hurts them.
But if they win it, you have won that argument for eternity.
Forever.
It's an all or nothing.
Last time there was a snowstorm in the playoffs, they got beat by 17, right? Cincinnati.
Yes.
Was that a snowstorm?
No, that was more of a dusting, wasn't it?
Okay, it was
that
slippery.
Made the field slippery.
It was a slippery snowstorm.
Would that provide the Chiefs an out, though, if the Bills beat them in a snowstorm? Would they be able to say, what was the weather, you know?
Wouldn't matter.
An out, like, I see what you mean. Like, you can only beat us if it's snowing?
Yeah.
Whatever, man. That's what I would say to that. Have fun golfing. That would be what I would be saying. I wouldn't mind it. I'll take it however I can get it. If they want to win 9-6, I'm good with that too.
23-19 in the fourth quarter. There is a point there is a player that showed up for them in that game.
That's right, and that he was not on the field. Will that be different?
Would he be on the field in the final drive?
Does the contract change that? Do they feel like that was a mistake, that he wasn't on the field for? Again, it wasn't the whole drive. It was the last couple of plays, though, that he wasn't out there for.
Well, what I would say, if we want to take this year's team, this year's offense, and put them in the same scenario as last year, mm-hmm. right? Having the ball down three, that drive. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that Josh Palmer or Elijah Moore, or a second-year Keon Coleman can get open and give them a play they feel comfortable in where Steve Spagnuolo doesn't feel like he can just blitz everybody because he's not afraid of anybody. That's what I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. And the Bills' play call was to throw it to Shakir out of the backfield, right? On that orbit motion?
Do we think so? Unless it was Kincaid was coming open over the middle.
But Kincaid was only coming open because the Chiefs blitzed so many players that they had a coverage bust.
Yeah, that's right.
Kincaid was not supposed to be that open, and Allen saw it. Like, Spagnuolo gambled and got away with it in part because they left Kincaid uncovered.
Right, that's right.
And if it's this year's offense, let's even go to a Kincaid that's not injured or isn't limited by his knee issues. What would you, this is a question you ask Joe Brady over a beer at a bar. Like, hey, this year's team, take me through it. Take me through what you're calling on that final drive. Are you still calling a screen to Amari Cooper's not on the team. You can't throw a screen
to him. Can't call a screen to him.
Right? It's like, what are you handing off to Ty Johnson for a one-yard loss? Like, those are two plays you might, as Joe Brady, say, like, you know what, I'll tell you what I'd do this time. I mean, he might call it differently with last year's team if he ever went back and thought about it. Maybe, maybe not. Allen, of course, got them in a position, and Kincaid couldn't make the catch. But Right. You ask, is Cook going to be out there? That's a fair question. And my response is, what is Josh Palmer's role in this scenario? What is Elijah Moore's role? Or Coleman,
right,
who was also not on the field? He wasn't on the third down because they threw it to Cooper.
No, he was on and off, I think, like Cook. But for the final play, I don't think he's out there either. And he's not out there for the Cooper play.
Right.
Because, I mean, it probably would have gone a little bit better if he had been the guy they threw the screen to. This year, I don't know, there's a receiver on the team that I wouldn't expect to do better on that screen than Amari Cooper would. It's still amazing. He was the guy they threw it to. Like, probably your worst yak receiver on the roster was the guy that they threw it to. By the way, someone did tweet in, it's not 23-19, but it was 23-21 in the 13-second game in the fourth quarter.
And could they run the ball?
They went a little nuts after that. I mean, like, I have no memory if they ran the ball.
I was going to say, like, you know, that little Kyle Brandt scenario, 23-21 the fourth quarter. That's right. That was – and then what happened, Joe?
Yeah, running the ball.
And then everyone did football drugs for 3 hours. Like, man.
Singletary in that game was 10 for 26. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was 7 for 60. Those are your running backs in that
10
game.
10 for 26. I think I'm going to be one of those people that says that the reason they lost that game is because they couldn't run the ball. 10 for 26. I remember that – whatever. This is how – just start the season already.
When did he get his last run, though? When was the 10th run? Like in the second quarter?
It might have been. They had two punts that I was mad about because they were running the ball.
And they had a one-play drive, right? Didn't Allen hit Davis on like a 70-yard touchdown? Yeah. So honestly, like Singletary might not have touched the ball like the last 2 hours of that football game.
Let's get some calls in here. John in Cheektowaga. Hey, John. Good morning.
John, you there?
No, John. Want to go to Ron?
Let's try Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. I have a sucky what-if scenario question for you.
Uh-oh.
But God forbid anything happened to Josh Allen, say, game one or two. Do you see Bean looking for another quarterback, or do you think we can go with what we have and still make the quarterback, still make the playoffs?
Okay. This is
What is this question? It's if Allen
got hurt early, would they just ride with Mitch, or would they do something? Like pre-deadline.
I knocked on wood, by the way, if anyone's aware.
Okay. We've all knocked on wood.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why this is a fair question. And this is something that, Joe, I think that they would and should discuss. Like, all right, who's out there? Trade partners. We want to know, you know, in the doomsday scenario, what do we do? Here's why it's fair. Because the Bills had Ray Davis kick an extra point in case, right?
Yeah.
Tyler Bass is to get hurt in warm-ups or during a game. How's your emergency kicker at kicking extra points? That is a scenario that they practiced in the preseason. Ray Davis, turns out he can make an extra point. Okay, now we know he can do that in game action.
Mm-hmm.
And that might not be a very likely scenario. In this case, the trouble is, who could you get you'd feel good about that has no major cap hit? Like, you could say Kirk Cousins, but... I don't know, that's a huge number, right? Like,
well, I got a name if you want it.
You're gonna say Tyrod Taylor.
No, if something were to happen, are you running with Trubisky or are you calling Tannehill?
Out of retirement.
He's not retired.
He's not? He's just not playing?
There's been nothing about him this year. Last year, the story was he didn't want to be a backup. He wanted to wait to see if there would be an injury somewhere on a good team that he could go in and start for. And that never happened. And this year, I don't know. He was retired. I don't know if he's in shape. But that was what the deal with him last year was. He was waiting for a team that he could start for. So would you call him and see if he's in shape?
Has immediately made me uncomfortable.
Did you call Tom Brady?
Oh, God.
Sorry. I just put that in the universe. Yeah. I'm thinking of guys that recently retired. Rivers. Rivers almost came out of the Super Bowl to play for the Niners.
That's right. Niners, yeah. All right. 803-0550. I'm not mad at you. Ron did that. Ron.
Yeah, Ron.
Look what you made us do.
Blame Ron. Nothing.
All right, we'll get to a couple more calls. And Sal at the top of the hour. The James Cook contract, you can give us a ring on that if you'd like to. James Cook, his 4-year deal, 48. Of course, we've seen that number taken down a little bit. So, you know, whatever. You can like the deal, you can hate the deal, you can pay attention to it as much as you want. The real numbers, he's here. And the Bills offseason is all about bringing back their own. And they finished the job with the Cook deal. The Bills go to Chicago today to practice tomorrow. We'll talk about it with Sal coming up at 8 here on WGR. closer to decision day. Owen Parker will be picking his Premier League team of choice.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Tomorrow.
Get ready here. It's a little chilly in here today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boo. A little chilly.
Wow. Listen, I love that Joe
you guys don't have one of these?
Joe felt the pressure to start wearing his gear after I've now on day three of wearing Arsenal gear to try and get Owen to pick Arsenal. One quick note.
What are you guys doing? Hold on.
What are we doing on Sunday? I don't know, but Owen's father, the Bulldog, has texted me asking if I want to watch the game with him and Owen. And does he expect you to root for Manchester United? Or I don't know what he expects here.
He mentioned just that last night.
We were talking about this.
He was why don't you just unite us? Because I don't want to do the same team as you. Loser. What are we doing? So I got to pick somebody else other than Manchester United. And on that note, they are my first team eliminated. So.
Oh, we're getting them out.
They are
not going to be a United fan.
They are out of the running.
Later, United.
They've been crossed off.
What an embarrassment.
Tottenham. I watched Tottenham yesterday.
Oh.
Tough.
Tottenham had a 2-0 lead in the Super UEFA Cup.
They were playing PSG. It's like the greatest club in the world right now.
Yeah,
that's right.
Tough draw.
It was tough. It was tough. But they blew it.
Yep.
Just blew it.
It was bad.
I'm not going to eliminate them yet, I don't think. Mm. I'm getting a lot of good input on Tottenham, so I think they're going to stay in it. One of your two teams is going today. You two.
Ooh, okay.
It's going to be Liverpool or Arsenal.
Wow.
And
is it going to be the one that, you know... Listen, you get champions on
you
this.
You know, I wish I could just jump on with you, Joe.
Look at
that. All looks wonderful. I can't just go with the team that won it last year.
That's right.
I have to get rid of
Liverpool.
That's
fine. That's fine.
Liverpool's out. It's over. So, my final four. Oh, sorry, Josh. I even, once again, forgot about Everton. They're out.
Hey. Oh. I thought you were bringing them up to say, hey, they're going to make it.
What's their name again?
Whatever. Everton.
Yeah, those guys forgot.
Often happens. Like, oh, yeah, Everton.
We'll be fine without you. It's all right. It's all right. We'll make it.
You'd make it. So my final four now. We're down to the final four. We've got Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Manchester City.
Oh, I don't like this final four.
That's my final four.
I don't like this final four.
That's where we're at.
I feel
at.
Like I only like one, for you, one of the four.
Which one do you like?
Tell them which one it is.
I don't know if that helps or hurts me, though.
Mm.
By telling him who I want him to pick?
I don't know who you would say.
Yeah.
Arsenal is the Bills right now.
No, they're not.
Arsenal's the Bills.
They're not the Bills.
Yes, they are. 7 years of being second, the second best team over 7 years, like 5 years.
No, they're the Ravens. They
might
be the Ravens.
They're
not the Bills.
Like, do I need more of that in my life?
The Bills are too beloved to be Arsenal. There you go.
All right.
Arsenal can be the Ravens, though. You've won before. Okay. You've been second or third
good one.
Best for a while.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. He's got his final four.
Saka, Lamar, most exciting, top-level excitement. I'd give Saka that.
I like that. All right. Sal on the other side. The Bills are about to go to Chicago for a joint practice with the Bears. We get the latest on the injuries and all the other good stuff on the James Cook signing. He got his contract. Hopefully he doesn't play against the Bears. Now he's too important. Don't play him. Don't play him. You know, I don't have to knock on wood. Just don't play him. So we'll get Sal's preview of practice with the Bears and preseason game number 2, which comes your way Sunday, 8 p.m. Sal next here on WGR.